Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this Septuagesima Sunday, pre-Lent Sunday, is our Gospel reading, St. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. These are the words of Christ. And so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is, well, unfair. Ever hear that? Ever say or think that? No, it is not, and neither is our good and gracious God. That, however, is hard to sell to people, most people. This because we have a time-bound and narrow-in-the-moment conception of fair, of justice, and of who deserves what when. Even though we should not dare to go there if we were honest, if we were not so fickle and forgetful of what really is going on, we should not dare. We should never dare. And I mean the goings-on in our own lives, hearts and heads. Even though it isn't true, we do dare. But for shame when we do. When we think this, that God is unjust and unfair in how he deals with, and do get the point here, in how he deals with his creation, with his creatures, with us. In another parable, Jesus tells of a farmer that has made it big. I mean, huge profits from an enormous crop yield. This farmer does not, though, acknowledge God. Pays him no mind at all, it seems at all. Not so much as even a thank you. Not to mention the first fruits belonging to God. At least that much should have been set aside. But no, Jesus calls him a fool. Not a fool in the eyes of the world, but in God's eyes. In the eyes of whom we should be most concerned about. And he was a fool because he gave no thought to the real future, to the everlasting future, his eternal fate. As it was this same day of success, the day he was going to celebrate his good fortune, as that is what he thought of that day, that Lady Luck had smiled upon him, and not God, who was the one who had blessed him. But that same day, God required the man's soul back. After all, who owns his and our souls? God does. Who considers ever now that this to be true? You belong to you? Well, no. So who can do what he wills with it? God. Unfair? Many say that. But what right do we have to do so? It is not as if all of this was not told to us, to everyone and all of creation from the very beginning. Sure, there have been liars and cheats and swindlers. There have been the rebels and such who have tried to convince people that there was another way, that we could choose our own destinies, make our own kingdoms, establish our own rules, make our own way in the world. But whose world is this? Whose air and food and water do we consume? What fools we have been to have been deceived and believe it to be any other way. Yet we have. From the very beginning, and keep on believing it. It's our go-to. Now, God did bless this farmer. in that other parable. And even if it was his day to die, if he had only done what God says to do, it would have been the icing on the cake. I mean, truly, it would have been the crown of his delight in all that happened. What a great day to die, right? The farmer was doing what God put him there to do. He could have rejoiced and looked forward to a further reward, a greater yield in heaven. His death would have been a promotion instead of a firing. And fire, yes, was what he would be facing that day. Instead of everything lost, that farmer would have gained more, far more. But far too many of us believe the worst about God too much of the time. So we are not generous toward God. We are convinced that for at least a little while we can pull the wool over his eyes. And so for that little while, we think we can live as if he and his law don't exist. As if eternity does not wait for us. So Jesus calls us fools if we do this. But back to our parable for today. It is about God's idea of fair. Did I say he was? He isn't. But I'm talking about the fact that he isn't being fair to himself. He deserves more. He deserves recompense. He deserves to be repaid. He deserves us all and all of us. Who is it that will give it? No, never has happened. And so we don't even deserve life, to have been born, nor air to breathe, nor food to eat. We have not loved him as he deserves ever, and we don't love our neighbors as we ought either, ever. Not that they deserve to be, just as we don't. So we should not dare to go there like these workers in the parable, like we do in real life, because if we wanted true justice and true fairness now, at any point in history, hell would be our destiny immediately. For every person born, and that is why God is unfair. That is what this parable is all about. God generously giving to those who don't deserve it and who never can earn it. It is not as if the ones who started earlier did all that much more than the one in the last hour did. And besides this, they ought to have said instead, why didn't we have the opportunity to work even longer for you, O Lord? Your work in your vineyard is a joy and delight for us. It is what I was made for. I would choose to do this without ever getting paid. It would be my pastime, my wonderful hobby. I dream about doing it. Some may be thinking, yeah, but without pay, you cannot eat and earn a living to raise a family and such. True, but this is where God says to us, this I know. I know that you need food and clothing and shelter. I give these to you whether you ask or not, whether you work or not. Just come and work with me. Work with me. And that is what we do. Our work is just a little bit. His is the great effort. He does the heavy lifting, and he fixes our fumbling and our bumbling. The results of our inexperience and ignorance, our trampling on his vines, our butchery instead of pruning. You see, the money and the living he pays us is not from what we have earned, but as a gift of what Jesus earned. That is why all get the same, no matter when they have come to help him with and in his work. This is grace. This is mercy for us and for any who will come. And unlike the older brother in the parable about the prodigal son, we should be glad that these latecomers get what we get. That is grace, mercy, forgiveness, and eternal life. They are saved too, like us, not because of their work, as we are not saved because of our work, but because of his generosity. This is the way it has always been. Our very life and breath are his gift. The food we can grow grows only because he allows it to still be grown. We are all called to manage what he so generously has given us. Let him worry over the yield and the growth. He will make sure we are taken care of. Whether you look at this in only earthly terms or eternal ones, it is the same. And so we ought to be glad when other people have success. We ought to be glad when our children do better than we have done in life. This is God's way. This is how God thinks. He was first and chose to be last so that we can be first. Jesus is the least and the lowest so that when he was finished, he could be first, but not so as to be alone in this. No, he takes all of it at the end of the workday, pays us as if we did something, and then invites us to his house for a feast to partake of its fruits, the wine of gladness all around. This is God's way. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.